of your name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El God Adonai. We now praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We worship you afresh, El Shaddai, the God who is forever. We worship you with our consecration and our determination to bring you glory and pleasure. And we ask as we go into your word this afternoon for fresh mercy and unction under the covering of our fathers, that your presence will overshadow us. And Lord, that Lord, you will bring forth this word in power and in purity, in clarity and in humility, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, so that, Lord God, you will, Lord, strengthen the weak hands, you will confirm the feeble knees, the bruised reed, Lord, you will strengthen, the smoking flax you will lighten, so that, Father, we will leave this place encouraged, edified, enabled, Lord God, and enlightened to stand in our place and to live the glorious life that Jesus paid for, settling for nothing less, in the name of Jesus. As I bring forth your word, I ask for mercy. Help me, O God, so that, Lord God, my infirmities will not be a hindrance. That, Lord God, Lord, you help me so that as this word comes forth, an eternal work will be done in all of our hearts, including my own. Our wills must submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And our emotions further controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. Help me to redeem the time, saying only those things that you would have me say. Bringing forth out of the treasure of your word the things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. So all the glory will go to the name of Jesus, that he alone will be exalted. And we, the sons of men, will be blessed and edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for that beautiful presence in this place. We thank God for the covering of our fathers. And it's a great honor for me to be here. And I don't take it for granted. I thank God for my fathers, Pastor Olivia and Mommy Sarah, that sons of Zadok, who over the years have not just taught us, but have lived before us a transparent life and showed us the difference between the holy and the profane. So it's a great heritage, so that our lives are set on the path to fulfill destiny. There's some things you cannot do for yourself. The family you are born into matters in the spirit and in the physical. It matters. And whatever is done in the physical realm, because fingers are not equal, in the spiritual, it can be reversed. Because in the spiritual realm, everybody has equal opportunity. And we really thank God for the rich heritage that we have in our fathers, of the love and sacrifice, the generosity and the care. You know, we could go on and on. But I just want to say thank you, sir. Thank you, mommy, for all you do every day. Thank you. Thank you. Well, this afternoon, I have a word that I was thinking about, and from what the choir have brought this afternoon, I recognize it's not what I was thinking, it's what God is thinking. And it's entitled, No Ordinary Sheep. No Ordinary Sheep. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, and I jump from 16 to verse 20, so please flow with me. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That sounds like a terrible thing to do. They are prey on the food chain. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Verse 20. No, take me to where it says, it's enough for the disciple to be as his master. Whatever verse that is, that's it. Right.
It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Amen. All right, the next verse I'm going to. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered which shall not be revealed, and hid which shall not be known. Amen. We're living in an age where the things in the spirit realm that have been covered by the veil of the flesh are about to be made known. Your real identity in God is about to be made manifest. And it's important that we know who we are and carry ourselves with the same gravity and the same sense of destiny that God gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, by which he carried himself on the face of the earth. So we see this applies to the disciples, just talking to the disciples, but he's talking to us by extension. Because the Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. All right, Psalm 103, verse 3, I'm not going there. All right, so we are God's sheep. So he's talking to us and he says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And to the ordinary mind, that looks like, wow, why did you do that? But because they're no ordinary sheep. They are spiritually re-engineered and transformed so that the lion is in the sheep. So when the bear comes and the lion comes, the lion that is in the shepherd of the sheep will devour the lion and take the sheep. The Bible says, I smote him and I delivered the sheep out of his mouth. We're no ordinary sheep. Brethren, we're not ordinary. And we should stop thinking ordinary. We are not defenseless. We are not gullible. We are not trying to survive. We are going to change the narrative. If it doesn't suit what the Bible says about you and I, we rise up and we change it. That's our generation. That's another generation. This, our generation, is meant to change it. We are as our master and as our Lord. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So we are not ordinary. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 in the Amplified. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. 4:15, Ephesians 4:15. Amplified without the classic. The other. Thank you. Speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth. We're living in a time when your life must be speaking. It's not only your mouth. What you are saying with your mouth must be backed by what you are saying with what you are saying with your life must back what you are saying with your mouth. Let us grow up. That's why we need to grow up. Anybody can talk the talk, but for your life to express, you need to grow up. And that's why it's not an ordinary sheep. It's grown up sheep spiritually. Amen. Growing up into him, following his example, who is the head? Christ. So this is what God is saying to us. Amen? That we're not ordinary. And look at verse 7, Matthew chapter 10 in verse 7. You see why he told them, why he sent them in the midst of the wolves. You know, it's very clear. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. So they were carrying the kingdom with them. What is the kingdom? The kingdom comes from two words. King and dominion. Pastor has preached it so many times, so we're going to rehash it so that we can really understand it. So it is the total dominion of the King, God, who is also love, Lord, over our spirits, our wills, minds, emotions, physical bodies, circumstances, and our regional heavenlies. And that flows into everything else that we have, our household, our finances, everything that we own. And since we know that love is, Pastor has defined this for us, discerning by the wisdom that comes from God's word, desiring by compassion from the fruits of the Spirit, and doing by the power that comes from the life of God, we now understand what it means when he says, wise as serpents, harmless as a dove. He's talking about the hidden wisdom of God. Amen. Not because in the outer court, the light in the tabernacle of Moses, there were three compartments. The light in the outer court was natural light. It was sunlight. That speaks of a type of Christianity where we're thinking naturally. Everything, when we read our Bible, we read it naturally. We see the story, and there's a place for that. There's the next compartment called the holy place. Now, in the holy place, you know, there is light, but the light is coming from a candlestick. And that candlestick is illuminating the shewbread, which is the bread that the priest used to eat. This symbolizes a different kind of light. Talks about revelation knowledge, which comes from light God shines into your heart. So the candlestick illuminates the bread. So when you are reading the word of God, you begin to see deeper. It's called hidden wisdom. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 8. 1 Corinthians, thank you. Thank you. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Next verse. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. That's preaching. It's not how eloquent you are. It's how much power is coming out of your spirit as you are preaching. Amen. Next verse. How be it, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Next verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Next verse. Which none of the princes of this world knew. It's talking about principalities and powers, wicked spirits and places, the ones who are directing the wolves on earth. No, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is God saying? God is saying that if you have the wisdom, no, of God. That is what talks about wiser serpent. And then you have the love of God. The Bible says love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Okay? No, the NIV says love worketh no harm. Look at Romans 13. Put on to set this foundation. Romans 13 verse 9 and 10. NIV, please. Thank you. Romans 13. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right. What verse do you have there? Right, verse 9. Okay, just making sure. The commandments. Let's read it together. The commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we know that's a higher law because in John 13, 34, Jesus Christ told us that we should love our neighbor as he, God, has loved him. So there's an upgrade on this law. Next verse, verse 10. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Harmless. Harmless as a dove. So using the power of the Holy Spirit. The dove is the Holy Spirit. You're using the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in divine love. The power of godliness. So if you have the wisdom of godliness and you have the power of godliness, not only will you survive, you'll be dealing with the wolves and turning them to become sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Talk about putting your enemy on the run. Because we don't want to destroy the wolves. Because they are wolves. Some of them are wolves by default. So we want to give them an opportunity to become sheep themselves. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is what God is saying to us. There are levels of love. And in Christianity, we should be growing every day. You should be increasing your level of love every day. And if you don't, you have to be increasing in the wisdom of it. In the compassion of it. In the power of it. So that is what Christianity is all about. Because we need to make it to become like the master. We have to be like the master. That's when God will be satisfied. Amen. All right. So we see what God. So as we do that and keep growing, God God's fullness will now be pleased to dwell in our body. That's what the Bible calls the fullness of God, the fullness of Godhead dwelling in us bodily. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. I'm not turning there. No, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible talked about the fullness of God. Yes, it's available. The access to the unlimited power of God. Hallelujah. That's where we're going. That is what Christianity is about. Yes, we go to church. Yes, we do good things. And we're going to have a lovely concert, sir, by the grace of God. Amen. All right. But behind all that, this is the Father's business. This is the Father's business. This is what it is all about. Not all born-again Christians are sheep. You must understand that. Not all Israel is Israel. Okay? His sheep are characterized. Bible says in Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and help. All right. Let me take this one. Look at Matthew 11, 20 to 30. Okay. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This is everybody. God is talking to everybody. Because everybody is heavy, is everybody is laboring against the sin nature. The disciples were in a boat. They were rowing and they were not making progress for hours. And the person that went to the mountain to go and pray, you know, he was walking on water and water passed by them and got to the shore before them. And they were rowing because the wind was contrary. There is a wind of the Spirit in the world that is contrary to godliness. And everybody is laboring. The Bible says the whole creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the sons of God to set them free from the dominion of sin and iniquity. This is what he's talking about. The labor, that's the labor and the heavy laden he's talking about. And he says, I will give you rest. So he takes away the burden, takes away the fountainhead of sin that is in the spirit, gives you a new creation, himself in your spirit. Amen. Pastor Wilkie was talking about that this morning, Bible study. You know, beautiful word. You know, and from that spirit, that Jesus now, he now wants to begin to pump the life of God out into the soul and the body. One was instantaneous. The other is gradual. It's progressive over time. This is what God is saying, okay? So he says, I will give you rest. Now, look at the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, you need to take the yoke. There is the life of God. We'll see that later on. But it's the life of God that enables you to learn of the character of God. Because without the life of God, you can't learn of the character of God, because you can't be like God if you are not of God. Birds give birth to birds. Alligators give birth to alligators. God gives birth to gods. So you cannot be like God if you are not of God. So that's why he gave you rest in the first place. So being born again is not the end. It's just the beginning. You now have to take that yoke. The yoke is for work. You put a yoke on oxen when you want to make them work. So you take the yoke of the life of God, you know, and put it on you in order to be able to learn of the character of God. And how we know that you have the character of God? You will be meek and lowly in heart. That submissive attitude will be there. It's an acid test. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you want to see made by God, when you want to see made in the UK, is it made in China? You want to know whether it's authentic? You see, made by God, you see meekness and lowliness of heart. The willingness to submit to the will of God, even when it's not convenient. That's what he's talking about. And what will happen? You will find rest unto your soul. Next verse. Amen. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we see that is how you identify the sheep. They have fellowship with God every day. They are eating from the tree of life. So from that tree of life that they are eating, they are becoming more like God. And you see it first in their attitude, and then it begins to see it in their character. is progressive. Okay? So that's it. But there are wolves. And many times they wear sheep's clothing. How do you recognize the wolf? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Amen. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Beware of false prophets. Now, it could be prophets. Now, this brethren, it can be anybody. It's just prophets. It can be false apostles. It can be false brethren. False teachers. It can be false friends. Ah, there are so many false friends. It can be false colleagues. Pretend as if they are your friend, and sometimes they don't even know because their string is being pulled by you know who up there. And there you are, they are expressing allegiance and friendship to you, but because they are not operating and eating from the same tree as you are eating, they are wolves. In the wolves are, they can be Christians, they can be unbelievers. This is the key. They are dominated by the sin nature. Look at Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening, not just wolves, ravening wolves, ready to tear to pieces and to devour. Next verse. But you're not going to be devoured in Jesus' name, because you take it to the word of God. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. Do men gather figs of thistles? No. Next verse. So every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruits. So, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruits. Next verse. A good tree cannot. It's very definite. It's very strong language. Cannot bring forth evil fruits. Neither can corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Bible says her ways are movable. When you see the evil fruit and you are about to conclude that it's an evil tree, she will change again. You know, and then you say something again as if, you know, it's not really, really like that. That was a mistake. Judge the fruit. Judge the fruit. That's what he's talking about. Next verse, verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? I can't hear you. Some people did not say it. Every tree that bringeth not forth good is what? And cast into the, we will not be hewn down in Jesus' name. But born once born again, always born again, is a lie. You have to bring forth fruit. That's what makes you a nice sheep. That heart inclination, meekness and lowliness, and the fruit that follows. Amen. Now, the wolves don't have that hard inclination, and they certainly don't have the fruit. Look at the kind of fruit they have. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Quickly. These are people that take advantage of the sheep. When they see weak people, they laugh at them. And then steal from them. And then rob them more. That's the nature of the wolf. It devours. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the wolf. Greedy, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, under any condition. It's not that when they annoy you so much, then I have a right to be disobedient. No. Under all conditions, meek and lowly. So if you are under that condition, then that wolf nature, you are not sitting on that wolf nature as you should be. Call a spade a spade. Don't call it the shovel. Don't call it the canister. It's a spade. Unthankful. Unholy. Next verse. Without natural affection. Truth breakers. You make a deal, they break it. Make an agreement, they change the goalpost. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. As a good one. When you see people that are good, do you go away from them? Let's leave them alone. They are holier than thou. Maybe they are going to condemn you. What's your reaction when you see people that are good? And they are pretending. You can locate yourself. without natural affection. Next verse. Traitors, stab in the back. That's the wolf. At any opportunity, backstab, heady, high-minded. The truth is that all of us have the wolf nature. You have the sheep nature in the spirit, the wolf nature in the soul and in the body. And you have to push it out. You have to flush it out. If you are not doing that, you are not going to remain sheep for a very long time. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. It's not a game. God knows. God is not going to put something that has not passed the test. It's passing everybody through a grill. And God is in the end, when you come out on the other side and the thing is packaged, that they take the paper and made by God. It's not on this side. It's not before. It's after you go through it. So when you go through it and you come out, no attitude, not blaming anybody. My life is in God's hands. I'm trusting God. I keep working on myself. Lord, have mercy on me to walk in love. I want to stay sweet. Stay sweet, Joseph. Amen. That's what Papa Ralph taught us many, many years ago. Amen. You have to stay sweet under pressure. Then God will now stamp it. This one is my own. If it's not, it's none of his. It will not be none of his in Jesus' name. All right? Okay? So we see now, what's talking about false spirit? What do good leadership look like? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. I beg your pardon. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3. From verse 3, I'm going. This is leadership, because when you talk about negative, let's talk about the positive. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and following. Right. This is how you know them. For our exhortation, this is how we know the pure. These are sheep apostles. These are lambs, like there is the Lamb of God, like John the Baptist said. Say, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. But there are a Lamb of God. I'm looking at a Lamb of God's. Amen. Now, there are Lamb of God leaders in the church, just like there are false apostles. This is how we identify them. Our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. What was he saying? They are saying the right words, but the power that is coming out of them, because by words are spirit and life. They can be spirit and death. So what's coming out of them is what is inside them. Immorality, uncleanness. They are preaching and uncleanness is coming out. The words are right, but the spirit is wrong. Just like the songs you are listening to. Hello. Yes. You know, the words, you'll be enjoying the beat and the word is poisonous. It's supposed to be quoted like that so that you can fall for it. Don't fall for it in Jesus' name. Same thing here. The spirit is wrong. Because they don't work on themselves, what is inside them is what is coming out. Preaching is not a mental exercise. It's not an intellectual job. It is coming from your being on the inside. And that's why we're so privileged in this house. Let's give God a super hand for our fathers. Amen. Pure chalice. You see yourself changing. It's the power of God that is coming out of lambs. That is changing you and making you like a lamb. Then you to stop getting angry. You stop taking vengeance. It's the power of God. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk. It's power. It's not in eloquence. It's power. Next verse. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. God is checking your motive. Why did you say that? How did you say it? We could have said it better. Why do you use that expression? So there is auto check. They are checking themselves because they know God is checking. Next verse. There's some people that they just say what they like. Nobody's checking them. You shouldn't be in that place. You're not feeding from the right place. But neither at any time use we flattering words. Pastor Will was talking about flattery. Flattering words. As you know, not a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. See the apostle calling God every step of the way to verify what he's saying. And God stamped that scripture. Next verse. Nor of men sought we glory. Whose glory are you seeking? Men or God? Why do you want that A star? For men or for God? You need to make it for God. Why do you want that PhD? Why do you want that contract? For men or for God? God has to be behind the motive. This motive thing is a key thing. It's a filter that God has put there. Neither of you, nor yet of others. We're not seeking your glory. So the day you misbehave, thank God for our fathers. The day you misbehave, you will know there is a God in heaven. when they call your full name, the first thing I think is, God help me. Mercy. They're not seeking your glory. They're not seeking your approval. They're not trying to make you happy. They're here to do a job. Amen. To make a lamb out of a wolf. And make you no ordinary sheep. When people are born again and they don't grow up, they're ordinary sheep. They can be deceived, they're gullible, they can be killed, they can all that. But not this one. And that we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Next verse. Let's move now. But who are gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Next verse. Having been affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also what? Our own souls, because you are there. This is true ministry. They want to give, they don't want to get. That's what it's all about. Amen. Okay. So why is this important? It's very important. We need to understand who we are. It's important. There's this song that we sing, the children sing it a lot, and I've learned it over the years. You know, I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. That song. No, and the song really depicts, it's talking about, you need to know who you are and what you are, you know, and what God has made available. And walk in it. Walk in it. You need to walk in love. You need to walk in the wisdom of God. You need to walk in power. Yes, you need to walk in miracles, but not a song. Your life must be backing up that thing that you are singing. That's what God is saying, okay? Right, so we see Christ the Lamb introduced to us by John the Baptist in John 1:36, and see the things that he ushered in. This is why. We need to see what the standard is like. What did Christ bring to us? Number one, a high level of purity of motive. We've seen that. John 5:30. No. As I hear, I judge. John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I what? Seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. This is it. Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will. That's the distinguishing feature. That's the first thing he did. Set that bar. And you can't lower it. We grow into it. Amen. When the standard is above you, thank you, Lord Jose. When the standard is above us, we grow into it. We aspire for it. We call the things that are not as though they are. We pray in the Spirit to back it up. And we gradually become it. That's how it is. No, but we certainly don't lower it to our standards. Say, oh, that's unrealistic. Oh, how can that be done? Ask Him how it can be done in your situation. That's what you should be doing. You don't discard the marking scheme. You do that to your own peril. You have to take the marking scheme and I've written the best I can. What do they mean? They mean what they wrote there. Go back and find out how you can do it and ask teachers so that they can show you how, what you can write and how to write it so that you can get that A star. Joseph got it. Daniel got it. You also can get it. Lord Jesus got it. Apostle Paul got it. Peter got it. So if they got it, how much more are you living in the end of time? Where grace has increased, knowledge that we have gone to and fro, knowledge has increased. Come on. It is bread for us. Amen. Only some people in the front said, I say it's bread for us, choir. Amen. All right. So a higher level. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. Very important. Because that higher level of motive or purity enables us to express more of his power. Without that purity, you limit the amount of power that God can, because it's the purity that determines the amount of the grace and the mercy of God. It's grace and mercy of God that determines the amount of life that you get. And that life is what translates the amount of power that you can generate. So if the grace is not enough, because of the purity, up the purity. And then more grace is given, and then more power is seen. So anytime you say in Jesus' name I have life, there's more power available just by reason of the grace and the attitude. That I may know him. Give it to me in the Amplified, not the Classic, the other Amplified, because I want to illustrate a point by the help of the Holy Spirit. And this, so that I may know him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person more completely. As we are growing spiritually, we are understanding the aspects of God that we did not understand. He begins to reveal it to us, because the understanding is the first thing he's going to reveal. The understanding, the remarkable wonders of his person more completely, and in the same way, experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers. This is what makes you sheep. Everyone say understanding. I can't hear. Understanding, then experience. Understanding, then experience. You can't experience what you don't understand. Until you understand a new level. It can be a little detail. Until you understand a new level, you cannot experience the power at that level. If you see somebody at that level, there's an understanding the person has that you don't have. Because there are levels of love. 70-fold, 75-fold, 80-fold, 90-fold. Each one is understanding. This is where Pauline prayers come in. They increase our understanding of the details of the wonders of his person. And that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly to his likeness, even to his death. What that simply means is that I'm able to obey. No, to deny myself, to be able to obey. Just suffering is, you're not going to suffer to the cross. It's self-denial. So when I understand, and when I understand, I now make up my mind to do it, then I now begin to experience it. So I experience newer levels of obedience. And when you enter that newer level of obedience, then you begin to set yourself up for the other things that God has in store. Abraham needed to give God a basis. God didn't want to kill his son. But God told him that he had to do that. So he had to give God a basis. You and I have to give God a basis. That's the suffering that is there. Abraham's suffering was going up the mountain Moriah all the 3 days, and then being prepared to sacrifice his son. The Bible says there was a ram. El Shaddai had put a ram caught in the thicket. Amen. And was that ram that was not visible initially. So until you walk in obedience to certain levels, then you now begin to see. All right? And it's very important, because the first Lamb of God took away the sin of the whole world. The second Lamb of God is going to pay the prayer debt of the whole world. God has a business, and the business is prayer. Because everything that he has done has to be done legally by a man on the earth. Amen. Very important to understand that. By a man on the earth. All right. So many things that he has done sovereignly. He's done sovereignly. The wonders in Egypt, he just said it, and those things happened. They have to be paid for. And all the people, all down through the ages, some people paid. Elijah paid for the one for the rain. He paid for it. But God just gives you a snippet there to see that these things have to be paid for in prayer. But there are many other things that you know, helping the widow of Zarephath, so many other things all through the ages. And even people now down in our current time, God is doing things every day for people because he's God. And moving supernaturally to help people. And he's trust, just like he trusted Jesus, that he will take it through and pay the sin debt. So when he died, that his blood paid the sin of all creation, all their past sins, all their current sins, all their future sins, even the people that were not yet born. All these that are going to sin, the blood paid it all. Hallelujah! So the first lamb paid the sin debt. The other lambs gathered together and paid the prayer debt. And that means you and I must become a prayer economy. Pastor wrote preached a beautiful message. And wrote an article on it, the economy of prayer. You initially, when you become a Christian, it's other people's prayer that your economy is using. So all these are doing, you are praying, you know, but the prayer that you pray, you sleep in between all that. You know, God just takes that, okay, you are trying, but he's not going to do it. So he takes from other people in authority over you and begins to, so you are importing power. You are not generating yet. You are importing, but the hope is that if we invest in you, you know, and invest in you, that we will get a return on our investment in prayer and in study of the word and all that. And after a while, your prayers begin to become more effectual. They begin to avail. And initially, they can't avail for you totally, but you are managing. Then after a while, they can handle you. Hey. They are now ready to begin to contribute to God's economy. Because now you begin to pray more. Because you are giving before. So now you now need to begin to export prayer. Amen. It's an economy. You have to become a producer. You begin to add to the what God has. And when you add, and I add, and all of us add, we now have an overlap. So that the whole earth will now be covered. We will pay all the prayer debts. Then all the ones that we want to, like Jesus paid for the disciples the first few years, he prayed it ahead. Paid it ahead for them. They were growing until they could begin to generate. This is the, just God just waving a magic wand and doing it. It does not work like that. This is how it works. It has to be paid for. So by the time we are coming to the glory, there is so much power available. Then God can come and do it suddenly. That's how it works. So that's where God is going. But it's important for us. But when you get there and the glory is now manifest, you can see it if you look at Luke chapter 4. We're talking about high level of purity, but it dovetails with prayer and the glory. Amen. Luke 4, 28 to 30. Luke 4. Give it to me in the King James. Thank you. All right. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Jesus was preaching to them. They didn't like it. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Wolves wanted to destroy sheep, the Lamb of God. Next verse. But he, the Lamb, passing through the midst of the wolves, went his way. That's not an ordinary sheep. That's where you're going. Untouchable. Because of the power of God. Unstoppable. Because of the power. Amen. Look at Apostle Paul in Acts 14, 19 to 20. Acts 14, 19 to 20. Very quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Supposing. When you know, in those days, stoning somebody to death was not an unusual thing. All right? It was normal. You don't make mistakes stoning people. You know, and supposing they have been dead. They felt very sure that he was dead. But when the power of God is in operation, this is a lamp. This is a lamp. This is the kind of lamp we're supposed to be. Next verse. Howbeit, as disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. No big deal. Give God a clap of it. That's the kind of lamp we're talking about. That's the kind of lamb we're talking about. They cannot be stopped, unstoppable. The Bible says if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. We're talking about an abundance of the wisdom and the power and the life of God. There's no substitute, brethren. No substitute. Daniel couldn't have come out of the lion's den if he didn't have the power. So this is key. Next thing that Jesus brought is a higher level of relationship with people. And that level of relationship, with people, that is, and of course, finances with people. Demonstrating God to people around us. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, very quickly. Matthew 5, 38. Ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, setting in a new standard. Next verse. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Jesus fulfilled this scripture. He slapped him, and he did not respond. Just told them, if I have said anything bad, witness to the bad. Why are you slapping me? Amen. But we're talking about, this is the power of godliness. Next verse. Let's move quickly. If any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Next verse. And whosoever shall compel thee, go a mile, go with him twain. He's talking about the wisdom of God operating in our mind at a level where you stop seeing things the way a man sees and start seeing things the way God is seeing it. But that song we sang said, your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. God wants to be strong on your behalf, but he cannot do it on my behalf if we are fighting for ourselves. Somebody has to do the fighting. Either you, who is a novice, or God, who is a G. That's why his name is God, G, capital. He knows how to sort it out. Amen. When whosoever compelled to go a mile, go with him twain. Next verse. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Mercy. Mercy, oh. It's according to what you have, but Bible says, turn not thou away. Next verse. You have heard that there have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And if you do, people will say that you are mad. They have given you something to eat from your village. Yes, the vegetable you ate was poisoned. This is only by the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's why you cannot walk in this kind of love just based on trying to be good. Nope. You must have power. Talking about kingdom. Next verse. That you may be children of your Father. Stamp. The stamp made by God. Thank you, sir. Right? Which is in heaven. For he maketh his son to rise on evil. When they see this, then they know that there is a God. It is evidence that there is a God. Because this one is not invisible. It's visible. I saw it. And send that rain on the just and on the unjust. Next verse. If you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Not even the publicans do the same. I want the bigger reward. Next verse. Last verse. Next verse. Thank you. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's the kind of lamb, a perfect lamb. That's what God is saying. The third thing, a higher level of zeal. A higher level of zeal to bring judgment upon evil. Many times we coexist with evil. Don't touch me. Don't soil my own. Don't fall on my portion. And we keep trying to avoid and escape. No. No. It's high time. Like Jesus, we turn the tables on evil. Bible says that he made a whip out of cords and chased the money changers in the temple. Let's look at it. Matthew 21, verses 12 to 14. And Jesus went into the temple of God. Bible says, ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, they were doing what the law required. The law required them to make those things available, so that if you wanted to make a sacrifice for sin offering or peace offering or trespass offering, you could buy the dove and then you could give it to the priest, and they would do it for your offering. You know what I'm saying? But their motive had changed. This was now the main thing. Motive. It's not that what they were doing was wrong. Question is, the motive was not right. It was the motive. So he changed them out. Look at what he said to them. Next verse. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of a house of prayer. But you have made it what? A den of thieves. They didn't steal. They didn't steal someone else's money. What you and I call a thief. This is God's definition of thief. Wrong mindset. And put their own thing on top and God's own thing at the bottom. Priority. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. And the blind, when he sent them out, see what happened. And the blind and the lame came into him in the temple, and he healed them. That was what should have been happening in the temple. But these people, because of their greed and their covetousness and their guile and their immorality and their uncleanness, were making it difficult for the weak to receive strength. They are an obstacle. They need to be taken away. Rid me of strange children. They need to be taken away. It's not enough to live with them. We must take away, Psalm 69 verse 9. We must take away the reproach. The church has borne reproach for too long. The zeal of thy house has eaten me up. And the reproach of them that reproach, they are falling upon me. Zeal. I'm not going to stay and just be watching. I'm saying, we have a problem. Be a solution to the problem. This thing is not in the spirit realm. Who is on the Lord's side? It's in the spirit. But they need to be judged. Because if you don't judge them, you cannot fulfill Isaiah 61. That beautiful Samuel. It was in my notes. And she didn't know that. She's already read it. The spirit of the Lord is upon me. That he might not heal the brokenhearted. You know, thank you. I preach good. I'm not going to go through it all. But it's important to look at it. Say that he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. But the anointing will not flow in an environment where there is greed and unforgiveness and all this. Bible says where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. There were places he went, Bible says he could do nothing there. Atmosphere is important. We need to check them out of the church. Yes. So that God can heal the lame, heal the blind. The bruised reed can receive strength. The smoking flax can receive fresh light. That's the whole idea. It's not just to be waiting and waiting and waiting. Wait till when? We need to get it done now. And hasten the time. All right? That's what God is doing. And you know, when we do that, look at Psalm 8 verse 2. Psalm 8 verse 2. The same week now receives strength. Look at it. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When they receive that, when they themselves now begin to dominate the sin nature, they themselves begin to overcome the power of the devil in the air. Yes! That God is happy. The weakest amongst them will be as David, and the house of David shall be as God. Yes! Men on earth. That's where God is going. That's where God is going. You know, and that's what gives him praise, because they tap into the power of godliness, you know, under covering, and begin to overcome the enemies. What are the enemies? Satanic power in the air, the carnal thinking in the mind, the sin nature in the flesh, you know, if they are human enemies, them inclusive. And the last enemy, which is death. Overcome death. That doesn't mean you don't die, but it does mean that you can live till the rapture. Overcome every obstacle and live to the rapture. Amen. And the people that God uses to effect this judgment will be supernaturally protected. Look at it. Psalm 144, verse 7. They will be supernaturally protected. Yourself and your seed. Because, you know, in everything, when you speak the truth and you stand for truth, the Bible says truth is falling in the streets. You know, and there's a way to put it, he that standeth for upright of righteousness makes himself a prey. When you stand for the right thing, automatically people single you out. So he's talking. So we're going to deal with him. They cannot do anything. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God in this day and age, look at what the Bible says. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. They are choking. Next verse. Whose mouth speaketh vanity. There's no life coming out of it, so it doesn't have any effect. And their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. What does that mean? Because their motive is wrong, their prayer, which should have been for, becomes against. So, when they are praying, they are taking away from your prayer. You have to pray extra. Look at that. It's a hindrance. Next verse. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon the psalter and an instrument of thanks will I sing praises unto thee. Next verse. It is he that does what? Giveth salvation unto kings. The judgment comes from kings. But the kings have their princes and their sons with them. Who delivered David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. Amen. Amen. Next verse. Verse 11. The second time, he's repeating the same thing. You and your generations, you are protected. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. Because when they cannot get you, they try and go for your seed. And whose mouth speak vanity. He's describing them again. It's deliberate. This thing that they're doing, the devil uses it against the righteous ones. That's why he says, read me. Because this is the source of the strength. The devil doesn't have any power of his own. Doesn't have any power to create power. He's using what men are saying. Particularly those in the church who are for. Who are supposedly for, but are against. Next verse. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters as cornerstones polished up the cement of the palace. Next verse. And then it begins to flow from your family into your nation. Amen. And our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. And our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. He's using, describing old English, and that time was an agricultural economy. Know that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking, no good, that there be no complaining in our streets. Next verse. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. But you need to stand up for the Lord that is our God. That's what he's saying. How do we do it? The first thing, brethren, is to correct the mindset. We need to correct the mindset. It's costing us too much. All right? Look at 1 Samuel 15, 22 to 23. We see God correcting Saul. And God is phasing out the Saul leadership in the church. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Obedience is the key. Next verse. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.
and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience, the willingness to obey. And he says it here, for rebellion, I will do my own thing, is rebellion. I will do it my own way, as rebellion. It's as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. It's passive witchcraft. It's passive in the sense that, you know, you are insisting on your will. Stop insisting on your will. Submit to the will of God for every situation. Submit to the will of God. It hurts you and me to kick against the bricks. It's hurting. Not only you, it's hurting. It's hurting the church. But yeah, because anytime your will is against God's will, you automatically become against without knowing it. It's a very fine line. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. And many strength people that we reject instruction. No, Bible says that's what Bible calls wickedness. He has also rejected it from being king. Next verse. Okay? So we see that stubbornness, you know, and of course, the other side of it, gain is not godliness. No, doing things for your own gain. You know, there are levels. Pastor Wega preached the message, was it last week or the week last Sunday, talking about the grace of God. I was shouting in the hostel. I was wondering, Pastor, what's the matter with you? I said, the grace of God had appeared unto all men. Teaching, you know, that you might, that the design of glorious, we might live soberly, righteously, godly. They are not the same. What the way, if they are the same, why did he put comma? Soberly is moral, just moral. I'm okay, you know. Righteousness is beginning to walk in revelation knowledge. But godly is power. It's walking power. It's subduing the flesh. Not the same. That's that. And that's so, but it's all about the motive. Okay? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 to 10. Put your convenience under God's instruction. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10. This is a key thing. Your convenience should be under God's instruction. God's instruction should be above your convenience. As I preach to you, I preach to myself. Okay? Now, these things were in samples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Next verse. Now, that be idolaters. Idolater means that he has an idol. The idol is what he's worshipping, even though he's a child of God. Some of us, you know, if you look at the heavens, they declare the glory of God. You see the sun, and then you see planets going around it. Some of us, in our solar system, we are the sun. We are the sun in our solar system. Everything is going around, including God. God is going around you. Wife is going around you. Children are going around you. Everything is going around you. If it's going to stay in your solar system, it must be around you. You are breaking divine order. God is the sun in your solar system. And then you go around him. And then your wife, you make your wife go around him. And you make your children go around him. If you have a dog, goes around him. He is the center of your world. If he says no, is no. The people sat down to it and rose up to play. Idolatry. Next verse. Neither let us commit fornication. As some of them committed and fell in one day 20 and 3,000. Next verse. Then let us tempt Christ. These are the things, you know. But, you know, it's all because of the motive. Because once the motive is wrong, God gives you time to change it. But when you don't change it, then the devil plugs in and begins to dominate you. And yes, and you try to shake it off, and it's not shaking off. It's not going away. No, it's not God doing it. It's not the devil. It's you. You correct it. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, complaining, murmuring. This is why we confess our sins. I thank God for fathers to help us break it down. Because I found that as I confess those sins, they go away. So I will gladly confess them. I don't care whether you hear or not. What's that going to do for me? That's not going to help me.
I confess them because they need to go away. They need to get weaker and weaker, and I need to get stronger and stronger. I have dominion over it. Yes, murmuring, idolatry, all these things. No fornication. Some of us, emotional and sexual issues are a problem. Of course, morally speaking, as Christians, we won't touch fornication. You know what I mean? But what about the emotional? Come on. That one, you need power to do it. Doesn't answer to any other thing except the power of God and the wisdom of God. A liking for somebody or an appreciation that somebody likes you, somebody appreciates you, come on. You can't sell that to me here. You know? If you don't, I've been through it, so I know. If you don't have power, you are prey. You may not have been tempted there before. If you haven't been tempted there before, then you get your defenses up. I'm not talking about sexual. I'm talking about emotional. Liking, somehow. You cannot explain it. You're sitting there, be talking. Continue. Asking yourself, what are you doing here? Like Elijah, what are you doing here? Hey, what are you doing? You are chatting. Hey, mercy. Some of the children, some of the chat groups you are in, the language they are speaking. Your parents dare not hear that language from your mouth. And you are still in that group. You have friends that are doing all sorts of, they are sending you all sorts of images. And you have not blocked them yet. Ask yourself, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Thank you, Prof. A little, is a little, Satan needs. A little sleep, a little slumber. These are sins of omission. You're looking at it, you didn't do anything. You're looking at it, you didn't do anything. I didn't do anything now. You're defending yourself. You're defending yourself. Continue. Don't continue, I beg. Repent. Repent. Don't continue. Look at Psalm 19. Verse 12 and 13. Psalm 19. Amplified. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Who can understand his errors or omissions? You are omitting. You should cut it off. What are we doing? What fellowship has light with darkness? What uncleanness and cleanliness? What are you doing? It's an omission. Big, take it out. Block the guy. Block the girl. God will give you better people to be chatting with. Exit the group straight. This is the level you people are at. You are criticizing authority and making fun of the people in authority in your school, making fun of people in authority in your office. Check out. God says, those who has left. God says, yes. That's my sheep. Amen. Acquit me of hidden, unconscious, unintended faults. Next verse. Also keep me back from presumptuous. So there are two kinds. There's unconscious faults. Then there's deliberate, willful sins. There are two. Omission and commission. But the thing is this, if you, like we have been taught by Pastor, if you deal with omission, then you will never get to the level of commission. But if you are waiting for the commission, and what will happen is that sometimes, you know, the omission thing will flash through your mind. You're doing this. You need to quickly, you're right. I'm doing it. Have mercy on me. I repent. Then you turn your light in that direction. Before, your light was not in that direction. You deal with it. Hey. So at any time it comes into your once light comes, you accept it. Don't be explaining, hey, what is that? My conscience, I beg. No, this conscience must not be pricking me. I reject it. Oh, no, man, yeah. No, I'm not under condemnation. Hey. Don't continue. Then I will be blameless, complete, and I shall be what? acquitted of great transgression. What happened to David can never happen to you. It can never happen to you. Because you once you see the smell of it, you know, this in my language, they say that what you're not going to eat, why are you smelling it? You are asking for trouble. I remember you are a sheep. In your own normal self, you are vulnerable. In your natural estate, you are vulnerable. It's only the mercy and the grace of God through a humble heart that makes you a supernatural sheep so you can exist in the midst of wolves. Never forget that. Without God, you are prey. You have no business playing with sin. So once they separate you from God, then they have you. They will not have us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. So it's very important. Attitude. Next thing, operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus as a habit, using the blood, the word, and the spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. Pastor, we got touched on it today. You know, same scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 6, 7, or Romans 10, 10. But let's go to Romans 10, 10. I like that scripture, you know, because it's very clear. You know, Romans 10, 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's spiritual law. It should back everything you're doing. Spiritual law. You know, of course, as you grow, God expands it into what you should be doing. But that's the basis of it. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, and you pray. And you have salvation. You have victory. Because you release the wisdom and the power of God. Okay, so very important. And Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 4, and God has commanded his precepts to be kept diligently. They're not meant to be kept anyhow. They're meant to be kept diligent. That means that, like for example, I was telling you now, let's say for example, there are 10 things you should be doing. Okay, now your best at the point in time is 4. God accepts the 4. And he responds to you as if you are doing the 10. Because the 4 is your best. Amen? So, the rest is from covering. You do your best and you leave the rest. You leave the rest to people who have gotten to a place where they are doing 10. And then they have excess. So, God takes from their excess and services your economy in the hope that as a service in your economy, you too, when they show you that number 5 is there, is available, you should be doing this. You will not say, I reject it. You know, you will not cast it behind you. You say, yes. So you go from 4 to 5, from 5 to 6, from 6 to 7. You are growing. That's growth. You take responsibility. Sometimes it's not doing more, but definitely you must be doing the basic instructions that you have been given. What are the basic instructions? We tithe 2.4 hours every day. And we give that time to God. 1 hour, good morning, Jesus prayer. Amen. We pray corporately, okay, with the right attitude in the unity of love. The power there is astronomic. That's the word, astronomically great. Is enough to service everybody and our generation and keep everybody going and all that. Hey, then you come out of that's only 1 hour. As you grow, you begin to take on more. You read your Bible, you do more things. Amen. Until you grow into the 2.4. And then 2.4, you know, you now begin to add on top. That's how to be a lamb. That's what God is saying. Okay? Under covering of apostolic and prophetic fathers. All right, look at Philippians 2:14, 13 and 14. This is God's heart. 13 and 14, Philippians 2. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Avoid argument and strife. Look at it. What is he saying? Next verse. Next verse. That you may be what? Blameless and harmless. Harmless is love. Blameless is moral law. Not accused of wrongdoing as blameless. Harmless is, doesn't do harm to his neighbor. So it's talking about moral and then it's talking about spiritual law. Okay? But if you keep spiritual law, you fulfill moral law. All right? The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. They are an island of righteousness. That's what he is. An island of righteousness in the midst of the crooked and the perverse, among whom you shine as lights in the world of darkness. Next verse. Amen. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I will not run in vain in Jesus' name. And neither will our fathers run in vain over us in Jesus' name. All right? Now look at the instructions God has given us under the covering of our fathers. Please help me put up that schematic of the watching and praying as we begin to round up. Thank you. Now, it's very important to understand that this is the instruction right now. Okay? And this is what you should be trying to do. Your best at completing. And God knows what your best is. Okay? God knows what my best is. And everybody keeps doing. Now, each one of these things is important in his place. You cannot do more Pauline prayer and leave out fear of God and humility. Everything is doing his own work. Everything is doing his own work. So it's very important to make sure that you have balance as part of diligence. Balance is part of diligence. You must have balance of it, okay? The fear of God determines the amount of grace and mercy that is available, so that the amount of the wisdom and the power of God you receive is determined the amount of it. Anytime you say, Jesus, in my half life, how much of it you get is the fear of God. Maybe you should be getting 50, say, for illustration, all right? And you're getting 22. You're not getting everything you should be getting. You need to deepen your level of submission, and that is submission to God and your conscience, then submission to those in authority over you, and then submission to people that are under your authority or are your peers. Yeah, you're looking at me. My Bible says you esteem, even though that are your peers, you esteem them as being better than yourself. You keep working on it. You know what he's doing? It will maximize the grace channel. So when you say, Father, mercy, instead of a trickle. Amen. All right. The life scriptures enable us to receive efficiently the life of God. So we eat of the tree of life. That is key, because without the life, you cannot love. Very important. All right. First John, John 20:31. This is commandment. John 12:50 says that this is, I know that his commandment is life everlasting. John 12:50. All right. Leave it here. But this is that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And then if you go to 1 John 3:23, and link that up with 1 John 3:23, you will see there that he says that this is the commandment. And this is commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, to receive life and love one another as he gave us commandment. So you need that life to do the love prayers. Thank you. Give me this schematic again, all right? To do the love prayers, okay? And the love prayers release the wisdom and the power of God in a measure, to enable us to walk in divine love. All right, praying in the spirit is the next one, and we're talking about praying with travail. That one overcomes the power of ungodliness that is coming from the air, and then it pulls down strongholds, casts down imaginations, brings captive your thoughts, so that you can now birth the Christ inside that meek and lowly heart. That's the stamp. Bible says, "My little children," Galatians 4:19. Of whom I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. It's not optional. It's compulsory. Amen. Only one doing it, but it's fine. We are built up and edified through Bible reading and studying. It gives us deeper insight. Bible reading is built up and edification. Bible study is deeper insight to rightly divide the word of God. They're not the same. I have to make time for it. Don't put yourself on that. I'm going to do it once a month. Once in 2 weeks. Whatever you say, God will hold you to it. Then as you continue, then God will be demanding more, and you will know that he's demanding more. So start with what you can do. God knows what you can handle. But to leave it and not do it is not wisdom. And with all the resources in the background, we now stay alert to watch and pray in all we do. Watch and pray. And basically that is what you do the whole day. Of course, all this is basic, you know. But for some of us that just got born again, the basic is, you know, something that we're grappling with. Some of the children, you know, I know the basic is something that they're grappling with. All right, but you need to do a little bit of everything. A little bit of everything. Don't do one and then leave some you're not doing at all. That is not wisdom. You need to have a balance of it. And then you grow and build it up together to the basic thing that we have been given. And then when you now have the basic thing, you now begin to export. Hallelujah. Then you now begin to earn. Then your GDP begins to rise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Your spiritual GDP. Yes. Then you begin to. Then after a while, you begin to loan people. Hallelujah. And you begin to, you know, bless people and do that. And then you begin to help other sheep. You know, you help other sheep. Bible says, "We the stronger to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please themselves." Let us pray. Amen. It's God-centered, kingdom-oriented, and anointing-based life. That's what this is. The life in Christ is God-centered. It is kingdom-oriented, love-oriented, and is anointing-based. The anointing will follow. Wherever God is the center, the anointing will follow. Wherever kingdom is the orientation, it's going to follow. Don't seek power. Don't seek wealth. They are byproducts. Seek love. Kingdom orientation. The kingdom should be the focus. I want to be more like God. That's the focus. That right motive will cause everything to now begin to work together. Lord, have mercy on us. Let's just repent. Talk to God. Remember, He wants to help us. He came to save the frail. But stop being a natural lamb. Wise as a serpent. Harmless as a dove. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Then please bring me near. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And that's my way. And that's my way. I'll rise up like the your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Lord, unveil my eyes.
Lord, unveil my eyes.
And Lord, unveil my eyes.
Let me see you.
Let me see your face. To face the knowledge of your love as you live in me.
Please, Lord, renew my mind.
Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds. By the power of your love,
hold me close.
Hold me close.
Let your love surround.
Let your love surround me.
And bring me
near.
Draw me.
Like the
eagle,
and I'm soaring.
Your spirit
leads me on in the power of your love.
Let's just raise up our right hand to the Lord. He wants us to soar with Him, drawing us closer to Himself. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that it is your desire for me to perfect the love of God as a lamb of God, growing up into Christ in wisdom, in compassion, and in power. I ask for mercy to align my heart and my motives in every area of my life, so that my motive will be to do your will, to please you above men, to seek you above things, that you will be the sun in my solar system. Have mercy on me to be diligent to keep the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, being balanced in all I do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Je paka kokon levebedi kakantom makasote elevemante jenge devebedi kakanam ropa pekedan toba sabla sheke deve pastoventa jefta vila rokamapole roke kshange kokenko keko kelevebedi kaname ropo piano kosote belide reke levebeno minke devebedi kakatavamana ropa peke tego tewa pepe paria rebani dudu reba kakakoka mikegelaba rebeno ba robo back everybody on amo mangela pekelan ropa pa pa sakata jakata bana pekede banana ropa kitano mekela batwa pekela reba baba poco levebelele roba kakatama mengarabu pingereya pangorie robobo pekele vebedi kanama robo kusekede babada. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have a need, the power of God is here. Let's reach out to Him. The Spirit of the Lord is here to undo the heavy burdens and let you go free. Father, thank you for everyone that is lifting up their hand right now as a sign to touch you. Blind Bartimaeus called out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, we tap into the mercy of God under the covering of our fathers, based on your word that has gone forth to confirm that you truly are here to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Let your power go forth and break every yoke and set captives free.
heal everybody, meet every need in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit enforcing affliction, lack, no oppression of the mind. We break your hold in the name of Jesus. And we say you are free. Son of God has set you free. You are free indeed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we are so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for this visitation. Thank you, Lord, for this word of encouragement. This word, Lord God, of deliverance, showing us mercy again and again. We're so grateful. We want to thank you for your servant. Thank you for the covering of the fathers in the house. We come under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the covering of our fathers. Come to declare and say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. So we are above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in everything we set our hands on to do, and are at least 10 times better than our peers, by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. And so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. And the Lord satisfies all of us with long life and shows us his salvation, the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the imminent manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure, in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us afresh with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John, in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace as we close. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell him it is well with you, and there be no bones broken in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Thank you so much.